If you have a Bible, I want you to go to Acts chapter 22. This is where we're going to start this morning. Last week, we started a conversation about racism. Now, we are in the beginning of having this conversation. I don't think one or even two messages is going to suffice the things that need to be addressed in our lives as individuals and as the Church of Jesus Christ. So we're going to continue the conversation today, and I'm going to ask two things before we begin. Number one, I'm going to ask that you listen to the whole message before you judge me. All right? And I want to remind you that you love me and that I love you too. All right? And that my job as a pastor is not to make everybody feel good. My job as a pastor is to confront the issues, speak the truth in love, so that we can all stand before the Lord with clean hands and pure hearts. Am I in the right church today? All right. And so don't look for reasons to be offended today. Look for reasons to respond to Jesus. Are you with me today? And so I started doing a hand count of my friends before the message, and I'm going to do a hand count after as well. Go ahead and breathe. It's all right. This past week, I saw a post from Matthew Barnett, friend of ours from the Los Angeles Dream Center. He said, the church has been monumental in the last couple decades. Often the first to respond during natural disasters was a leader in the fight against human trafficking. And if we put that same energy into America's national sin of racism, we can change the world. Now, I hope that as a result of last week, that you are having conversations with people who don't look like you. That was your assignment. That was your challenge, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And I hope that that wasn't just a message. I hope it was something that you began to put into action. Because if you are having these conversations, then you are part. I think we can be part of the solutions. And let me just say, these should be face-to-face or phone conversations, not on social media. I can't tell you how social media is hurting us right now. And for the vast majority of us, we just got to stop. You don't have to post everything you see. You don't have to post everything you think. This is a time to listen. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. And slow to wrath. Amen, everybody? Don't even say amen. I'm gonna encourage you not to respond today. Is that all right? Just listen. Let's come before the Lord and say, God, speak to us. Amen. Matter of fact, Jesus, we pray that you would open our eyes, that we would see wonderful things in your law. God, we wanna hear from you. We wanna meet with you. We wanna see what your word says. And God, I'm not worried about the person on my left or my right or that person or that group. God, work on me. Help me today. In Jesus' name, amen. The voice I hope you're listening to the most is God's word. The voice I hope you're leaning into the most is the voice of God's word. And let me put this challenge out to you. You should be reading God's word at least as much as you're watching the news. At least as much as you're on social media. So you're saying, uh-oh. I'm trying to tell you. We have all these voices speaking to us, and we're trying to make sense of it all. But the Bible says that the word of God will last forever. That's our guide for every issue. Whatever issue we're always facing, go to God's word. Dig into it. Right? And find out what God's word has to say, because that's what happened to me this week. In my Bible reading plan for the last week or so, I've been in the book of Acts, and I'm just going chapter by chapter, praying through every chapter, and I thought it was interesting how, let me give you a little background before we read the verse. Acts chapter 22, the Apostle Paul is preaching in Jerusalem, and so he's there after his second missionary journey, and he's preaching the gospel to both Jews and Gentiles. Now, you got to get that word Gentiles today, because Gentiles is anybody who's not a Jew. Okay, I'm trying to help you with context. In order for you to get this, you're going to have to lean in on this one. Okay, I'm going to try to lay a foundation before we make our applications here today. And so Paul is preaching to Jews and non-Jews, Jews and Gentiles. And so there's this riot that takes place. I mean, just this huge uproar that's going on. And so Paul gives up to give his defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And look what happens. Acts 22, verse 21. He says, the Lord said to me, he said, guys, this is my story. Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Remember, he's talking to Jews. And what happened in verse 21, the crowd listened to Paul until he said that. Right? They were listening to him, how he got saved. He was on the road to Damascus. Jesus came down, appeared to him. Paul, why are you persecuting me? I hope you know this story. And so he's telling the story. He says, and then God said, I'm gonna call you to go to the Gentiles. And they listened to Paul until he said that trigger word. Then they raised their voices and shouted, rid the earth of him. He's not fit to live. Wow. Now, you say, Pastor, what's going on here? Well, a little bit of background. The Jewish people at this time were very much against non-Jews or Gentiles receiving God's word in salvation. For the most part, Jewish people hated Gentiles. Think of the story of the woman at the well. Jesus approaches a Samaritan woman at the well. He engages in a conversation with her. And remember what she said in John chapter 4, verse 9. He says, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? You see, the Jewish racism against Gentiles goes back a long, long time. Hundreds of years. There's this complex story of how the Samaritans came about to be and Gentiles and all of that. But it all began with interracial marriage. Remember, the Assyrians came to the northern tribes of Israel. I'm giving you a little bit of Bible history here. The Assyrians came to the northern tribes of Israel, and they conquered Israel. And one of the strategies for conquering a people, the Assyrians would take the leading influential people out of a country that they conquered and take them back to their homeland. And they would bring in foreigners and plant them into the conquering nation to disperse among the people. And so as a result, there was this intermingling of families. There were mixed marriages, interracial families, and these people became known as Samaritans. Jews, for the most part, hated Samaritans. They referred to them as dogs. They were Gentiles. Now, this reaction that we read about in Acts chapter 2 by these Jewish people toward Paul, when he even mentions the word Gentiles, of which the Samaritans would be part, it gives us a picture here of the animosity there was from Jewish people toward Gentile people. Now, let's stop for a second and let me ask you a question. How did that happen? How does it happen that God's chosen people have this hatred toward people who are not like them? Here's the first point I want to make here today. Racism happens when we separate God's love from God's law. Racism happens when we separate God's love from God's law. A little bit more biblical history. Is that okay? How many know everything that we should be doing should be coming from the Bible? All right, I'm preaching the Bible to you here today. I'm not preaching the latest or the greatest. I'm not following somebody else's talking points. We're digging into God's word here today. What does God's word have to say about all of this? Remember, God calls Abraham out of his country to a brand new country, and he gives Abraham a promise, out of your seed, the whole world will be blessed. and your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars. And so the nation of Israel begins to grow, and then they become enslaved in Egypt, right? God raises up Moses to bring Israel out of bondage with a strong hand, and God gives the people of Israel the Ten Commandments and the promise of a new land and a new destiny. And here's what God says in Isaiah 49, verse 6, about the people of Israel. I have called you out because I will make you a light for the Gentiles. Huh. I delivered you out of bondage. Abraham, I called you out to begin this new nation because I want the glory of God to be seen through the whole world. Not for just for Jews, not just for Israel. I want you to be a light to the Gentiles. Why? That my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. You see, God had a plan. God's plan was for Israel to be a light to the nations, to the Gentiles. God's plan was that the whole world would know his love, his glory, and his power through the nation of Israel. So what happened? Well, instead, over time, to the Jews, religion became a purity test. Who could keep the law best? It was a test of who was holiest, who was superior, who was more Jewish. The result of that hundreds of years later is Pharisees, legalism. And Pharisees looked down on everyone they came into contact with. It created a separate class of people who were superior and inferior, which is the definition of racism. When one person of an ethnicity or physical makeup considers themselves superior, or another ethnicity or makeup inferior to us. Are you with me today? As a result, here we are in Acts chapter 22. The Jewish people would rather start a riot and kill people than to hear about Gentiles being saved. This is pretty serious. Now, this is eerily similar to the history of racism in the United States, particularly with the rise of the Ku Klux Klan. Lean in, okay? The Klan wore white robes to symbolize purity. They burned crosses to signify the light of Christ. And they cherry-picked selective scriptures from the Bible to preach white supremacy. See, Klan members believed that the Bible is the family history of the white race. They believed that white Christians are morally and spiritually superior to other races. Now, I'm going to show you a picture of the KKK that will probably disturb you. And I ran this by many people of all different backgrounds and ages, and should I do this? And they all said yes. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not trying to provoke you, but I think this is a picture that we all need to wrestle with, okay? I want you to hear my heart. Not trying to grandstand, not trying to say, this is a picture that we should all wrestle with. This is a picture of a Klan meeting, not in the South. This is actually in Oregon in 1912. And they're at a church. And you see the banner, Jesus Saves. I'm going to ask nobody take a picture of this picture. Nobody post this picture on social media, because without context, nobody's going to understand. But you're getting the context of what I'm saying. My question is, how did that happen? How does that go with that? It doesn't. But can I tell you, that's what happens when we separate the love of God from the law of God. When we make religion about rules and not about love. Matter of fact, Jesus said, take the whole law and sum it up. Love God, love your neighbor. Paul said, if you don't love people, I don't care what you do. I don't care how famous you are. I don't care what your acts of service. I don't care how many hours you serve other people. If you don't love people, you're bankrupt. It means nothing. Now, I want to stop for a second, and I want you to wrestle with this. Now, we are a predominantly white church, and our community is a predominantly white community. And so some of you may feel, well, you're targeting me. No, I'm targeting all of us. We all need to wrestle with this, because I think what all of this means is that this lands at our feet, the Church of Jesus Christ. See, I think for too long, we've tried to become too cool, too relevant. And instead of confronting sin, we don't. Instead of making people uncomfortable in their sin, we don't. And when that happens, we get stuff like that. And see, you say, Pastor, this is an uncomfortable conversation. I know. I heard T.D. Jakes say yesterday, but if you've been married for any amount of time, you're used to uncomfortable conversations. Amen, everybody. See, racism happens when I separate the love of God from the law of God. And I think every one of us need to ask this question of ourselves. Where is the love of God in my life right now? The second thing I want to point out to you is that racism does what Satan does. You ready to dig a little more? According to the Bible, Satan's heart was corrupted by his pride in the beginning. He became infatuated with himself. Ezekiel says about Satan, Lucifer, your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. One legend from a major world religion believes that when God created Adam, that Satan became furious about God's creation of Adam and said this about Adam. Satan said this about Adam: I am better than him. Isn't that the theme of racism? I'm better than you. I'm superior than you. You are less than me. I want to point out something to you. What's going on? Satan hates us. He hates all of us. He hates every race, every color, every single person. He hates all of us. He particularly hates the Church of Jesus Christ. And he's working. And he's dividing. And his spirit is the spirit behind all of this. And we've got to recognize that. And his goal from the time that you and I are born is to accuse us, to harass us, to lie to us about who we are, about our value, about our identity, about our inheritance, about our worth. See, racism says you are less than somebody else. You are not sufficient. You are inferior. You are less than perfect. You are different, and therefore you are not included. You are an other. You're an outcast. You're a loser. Isn't that what the enemy wants all of us to think about ourselves? Here we are, made in the image of God. Every single one of us, every single person ever born, made in the image of God. You look like your dad. You look like your father, the one who mated you. You have the imago Dei stamped upon you. Whatever the color of your skin, whatever your background is, you are made in the image of the living God. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, adopted into his family, and heirs to every promise that God gave Abraham, which means that I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. I'm blessed in my coming in. I'm blessed in my going out. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed in the city. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a brand new creation. The old things have passed away and everything's become new in my life. I am called by God, and the Bible says the evil one cannot touch me. I am made on purpose for a purpose. I am God's son. I'm God's daughter. The enemy is lying to you, telling you that his plan is to convince us we're unworthy, we're not loved, we're not valued, we are a dog, we are a mistake, we are less than, we are an illegitimate child, we are rejected, we don't belong, we are not included, we're on the outside, we're a victim, we're never going to win, we're always going to struggle. I want you to see that racism accomplishes everything that Satan wants to accomplish. He wants to keep us down. He wants to keep us divided. So what do we do? Here's what the Bible says we do about that. In James chapter 4, we act in the opposite spirit of Lucifer, who is full of pride, full of arrogance, full of himself. I'm better than him. God says, no, humble yourselves. Humble ourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. See, I want to preach to you, church, and everybody who's watching. We have to see the spirit of what's going on in the world and react in the opposite spirit. And in the spirit that God wants us to act in is humility. See, I think this is the key to everything, humility and repentance. I think it's the key. That's God's word to the body of Christ right now, repentance. Humility and repentance. All of us need to repent. All of us. Every one of us. We all need to repent of something. Last thing, and then we're going to pray. The response to racism is sacrificial love. Now, Pastor, what are you talking about? Let's go back to the book of Acts. Remember, before Paul's conversion, before he goes to the Gentiles to preach the gospel, the apostle Paul was named Saul. Okay, lean in again, all right? Saul described himself as a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a very Jewish Jew, which meant he hated Gentiles. Are you with me? But one day, on the road to Damascus, while he is going to kill people, God literally knocks him off his high horse. He said, Paul, I got a different plan for you. I want to pause right now and say, if God can save Saul and turn him into Paul, God can save anybody. You name the most lost, the most hate-filled, the most ugly person, spiritual person in the world, I'm going to tell you, they are a prime candidate for salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. There is no one that is so far gone that God can't save you. God knocks Saul off of his high horse, and then God sends Ananias to Saul, and look what he says. He says, this man, talking about Saul, who will become Paul, is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the what? Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Watch this. After Saul's conversion, God says, you used to hate Gentiles. Now you're going to suffer for their sake. Not as a form of punishment, but as a form of reaching them. Listen. The reason for the riot that just occurred in Acts chapter 22, which we started with, the reason that Paul was arrested in the first place, the reason that Paul was taken to Rome as a prisoner and where we get the prison epistles, was because he chose to love the people that he once hated and to preach the gospel to them. The whole reason Paul was in prison was that he was teaching and preaching that Gentiles could be saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they weren't dogs, that they weren't less than, that there's no man, there's no woman, there's no Jew, there's no Greek. We are all one in Christ Jesus, is what Paul said. The price for Paul to include the Gentiles in the message of salvation was very high. He was beaten. He was stoned, not the recreational kind of stone. I'm talking about the rocks that are coming. I thought that was a good place for a little bit of relief there. Because of his calling to reach the Gentiles, he was shipwrecked. He went without food. He was put in chains, ultimately put in prison, and ultimately, history says, he was beheaded. Because he included people in his circle of love that used to be on the outside. I think what this is teaching us is that the key to overcoming racism for all of us is not for us to draw back to our own camp, our own thoughts, our own way of thinking. Everybody keep watching their same news channel, keep listening to the same people on social media. No. I think the key to overcoming all of this is sacrificial love. What if the people that you are most prejudiced against, and that can go any direction, prejudice goes any direction. What if the people that you are most against are the very ones God has called you to reach? What if the people that are most opposite your way of thinking are the very ones that God has put into your life to demonstrate his love and his grace? I'm preaching now and you're not amening, and that's okay. Would you be willing to suffer for the person who's not like you, for the person who disagrees with you, for the person who offends you? Would you be willing to do that? Several years ago, I had a chance to go to East Africa, and I visited the island of Zanzibar, which for hundreds of years, Zanzibar was a slave trading market where African men and women were kidnapped and stolen to be enslaved by people from other nations. Now, the group I was with, this is a monument there that we took a tour of that. The group I was with, they took us into this holding cell where slaves would be held in this very tiny room. And as you can tell, a 6-foot man can't even stand up straight in this very tiny, cramped room. It was hewn out of rock, so it was very cold, very, very harsh. There was a window up high so that the surf from the ocean, when the tide came in, would wash in and wash away all the feces and all the urine. Now, there's probably 6 or 7 people in our group in this tiny little room, but they were telling us that they would put as many as 1,000 slaves in this one room. Many of the slaves suffocated before they ever got out of the room. And when they were taken out of the room, they were tied to a post where they were beaten severely. And the longer they could take the beating, the higher the price to purchase them as property. Now, there's a church now that stands on the very ground where these slaves were bought and sold. The altar of the church, the altar of the church is placed where the whipping post once stood. The symbolism of that is powerful because freedom comes through Jesus Christ. The church is named after David Livingstone, a white missionary from Europe who traveled to Africa and ultimately died sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a monument that stands outside the Livingstone Church, and I'm not going to read all of it to you, but here's what it says. You are now standing at the former slave market site, the world's last open slave market and notorious place, where slaves from East and Central Africa regions were bought and sold. The trade in men, women, and children was stopped by decree from the Sultan of Zanzibar on June 6, 1873, following the appeal by Dr. David Livingstone. A white man gave his life to preach the gospel so that people could be free. I'm trying to tell you, I think the right response for all of us is not to say, who agrees with me, but to say, who can I serve? Who's hurting? Who needs an arm around the shoulder? Who needs me to pray with them? Who needs a meal? Who needs Jesus? You see, the same thing that set slaves free from bondage could set us all free from our wickedness. The gospel of Jesus Christ. In case you've forgotten, Jesus came to a world that hated him. Jesus came to a world that despised him. And then he washes the feet of the one who would betray him and kill him. He suffered greatly for the sake of people who mocked him, who spat on him, and they caused him great pain. And do you remember what he said? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I think in order for us to be part of the solution, we have to say, Lord, make me like Jesus. Make me like Jesus. Help me to love like that. Help me to see people through your eyes. But Pastor, this is not my problem. Actually, it is your problem. Because your brother, who's an African American, is hurting. He's tired. And he's afraid for his kids. And those feelings are real. Your sister, who is black, constantly made to feel like an other, always on the outside looking in, surrounded by white people who don't even know sometimes how they're making her feel. Your neighbor, who is a Punjabi Indian, stands aloof from you, and part of the reason is because you assume he's a terrorist because he wears a turban on his head. Your coworker, who is Latino, trying so hard to be successful in a very white-dominated community like ours, to make him or her feel like they belong in your world. Your brother, who is a white police officer, is afraid because he saw the pictures that said the only good cop's a dead cop. And that affects them and in their family and their kids. But Pastor, that's not my problem. That's their problem. If that's your attitude, you have a problem. Your heart, please don't respond. Your heart is the problem. I'm trying to tell you, our hearts are the problem here today. The cure is Jesus. The cure is the cross. What we should be looking at is the cross. The cross. The cross of Jesus, upon which he died for me, the chiefest of sinners. They changed a racist Jew named Saul into a missionary named Paul, who suffered greatly to ensure that the very people he once hated now have the opportunity to receive eternal life. You see, the cross has the power to change us. So what do I do? All right, Pastor. Tell me what to do. All right, I think these are the application points for us today, the takeaways. Are you ready? First of all, this is for all of us. I will humble myself and repent. That's the first step. Every single one of us, me, you, everybody watching, we all need to humble ourselves and repent. We need to repent for ourselves. We need to repent for our attitudes. If we've ever participated in making somebody feel less than or an other, we are wrong. We are sorry. God, forgive us. Stop spending your time pointing out what other people's faults are and making your case for how you think and how you feel. Today, now is a time to humble ourselves and repent, because humility is the solution to all of this. It's not my brother. It's not my sister, the old song says. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. The sinner was beside the Pharisee. Remember Jesus said? The Pharisee said, God, thank you, I'm not like that person. The sinner said, God, have mercy on me. That's our prayer today. Have mercy on me, a sinner. I think the second takeaway for all of us is that I will speak out when I see injustice. I think this is the part of sacrificial love, because it's gonna take white people speaking up for African Americans. It's gonna take white people and African Americans speaking up for Latinos and whoever else. Are you hearing me today? You say, but I don't like that. I was uncomfortable. That's where the sacrifice comes in, right? That's where the Spirit of Jesus comes in. It's not even about what you want. It's about what God wants as disciples of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, I will honor the image of God in every person. The people I love, the people I don't, the people I like, the people I don't, the people who vote like me and the people who don't, the people who have been good to me and the people who have hurt me. I will honor the image of God in every single person. Amen, everybody? That's my choice. You know, if the only good thing that I can say about you is you're made in the image of God, that's enough. And I think this word honor, this is the key. Everybody say honor. That's what's missing from our culture, is this word honor. Let me close with this and we're gonna pray. There is a Japanese custom of fixing broken pottery as a form of artwork. It's called kintsugi. And these artists believe that when broken pieces of pottery are glued back together, most of the time with pure gold, the results can even be more beautiful and valuable than the original. So the word kintsugi means to repair with gold. And the idea is that the piece is even more beautiful after it's broken. I think, like broken pottery, our culture is similarly is fractured and broken and needs repairing. And I think, like these who practice this art of pottery, I think together we can humble our hearts and we can honor one another. I'm trying to tell you that honor is the gold that will bring us all back together. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me in this message? Holy Spirit, speak to me. I repent. Would you make that your prayer right where you're at? God, I repent. My attitude, my spirit, my actions. Search me, oh God. See if there's anything offensive in me, in my words, in my heart, in my action. I humble myself. I humble myself before you, God. Forgive me. Wash me. Purify me, Lord. I'm sorry. May the Spirit of Jesus Christ be infused in me, the same Spirit that turned Saul into Paul. Let that Spirit come upon my life. Let it fill my heart, my words. Father, we ask for courage in this time to speak up for the oppressed, for the downtrodden, for the hurting, for the broken. You're a God of justice. May we be your voice. Give us courage to walk across the room, walk across the yard, walk across the street, walk across the office, and reach out to somebody who's not like me. And God, I pray that you would make me the light of Jesus to them. Just as you made you raise up the Jewish nation to be a light to the nations, God, I pray you'd make me a light to everyone I know. And God, I pray that you'd help me to honor the image of God in every person. Some of you, this begins at home. You just need to honor your husband and your wife, and things will get better. Young men, young women, you just need to honor your parents, and things will begin to improve. Are you hearing me today? We need to honor the people that are in authority. That doesn't mean we always agree with them, but we're going to honor the position. We're going to pray for them. God, I pray that you help me to honor every person I see and know, because they're made in your image. Watching online, and the Holy Spirit is convicting you, that's a good thing. Because if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, it's because He loves you. And He wants you to be part of His family. He doesn't want you to be on the outside. See, God so loved the world, which means God so loved you, that He gave you His only Son. And the reason that He did that, it's because God's not okay if you're lost. He's done everything He can. That's the love of God. And today I want to encourage you, if you're not right with God, would you surrender today, right now? If you're in this room, if you're watching from somewhere, surrender. And you can do it by praying this prayer. Dear God, I surrender. Come on, say it out loud. I surrender. My heart, my life, my future. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. I was wrong. I need a new heart. So I put my hope in the cross of Jesus and the resurrection to give me a new life. Beginning today, I'm following Jesus for the rest of my life. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power to do everything Jesus says. Amen. Amen. Would you give God praise for every person that has prayed just now to receive Jesus. Amen. All right, it's been a long time since I've been able to say this. That is not a time to patty cake or a golf clap. Somebody give God praise for men and women. If you would, thank you so much for joining us here today. Let me encourage you, if you feel like this message is something that a lot of people need to hear, share it on social media. It'll be posted tomorrow afternoon as well. And let's be part of the solution. Amen, everybody? Do you still love me? Do I have friends? Yeah. All right, good. Good. All right. Well, I'm going to call you this week. No, I'm not. It's going to be fine. I do want you to know, I love you. I love you. And we're going to be all right if we draw close to Jesus. There is an if. I can't just say this blanket statement. We're all going to be okay. We're going to be okay if we stay close to Jesus. So every single one of us, let's leave determined. I'm going to look to the Word. I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm going to worship. I'm not going to be distant from the church. I'm going to draw closer to the body of Christ. Amen, everybody? Then we will be all right. Amen? So until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Go with God. We love you very much.